What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Let Me Explain. As always, I'm your host, Nick Bianco. You guys probably know me by now, so I don't need to introduce myself too much. But in this episode, we got a great one coming at you. I get to interview my good friend Brody, otherwise known as Sad Acid Trips. We actually went to college together. That's how we met and how we sort of know each other. But things have changed since then, obviously not only because of COVID, but because of different creative aspirations and different creative avenues that we have explored since then. That's actually what this episode is about. So for those who don't know my good friend Brody, I'm just going to refer to his project as Sad Acid Trips because that's what it's called. Basically, what had happened was I had known that he'd made music for a while, and that's actually sort of the common denominator of our friendship, I guess. I mean, so obviously we've grown to be actually pretty close friends since then, but my first time seeing him at school, he was wearing a Morrissey shirt, and this was before obviously all of the negativity around Morrissey had come to light. So I saw this one's like, that dude's sick, I want to be friends with that guy. It's one of those classic situations. You see someone wearing a band shirt that you're into, and then you kind of go and strike up a conversation, and the rest is history. So that's what happened here. But anyways, this past year, Brody had gone on and tried making music, or he did make music under this new album called All My Friends. It's a fantastic album. I bring up the fact that it really reminds me a lot of like 100 Gex, but I don't necessarily want to make that statement definitive because I don't want to either like deter people away from that or create expectations that maybe won't be met, and music is subjective. So that's at least my takeaway from it. It can be found on Spotify and Bandcamp, wherever you listen to music, really. Make sure to go and follow Brody on Instagram. It's just going to be Sad Acid Trips on Instagram. You can sort of keep up to date with a lot of the stuff that he's releasing and whatnot. And so aside from that, being that we don't have any official plugs or sponsors here on Let Me Explain, not as of yet, but I'm currently looking. So if anyone's trying to get any podcast sponsors, please let me know, come my way, and I would be happy to work something out with you guys. Anyways, as I was saying, sponsors. So we actually, and I say we, I mean Good Grief Media and myself, have just dropped merch online. So now you guys don't have to go through me and sort of get it more of like a, you know, DM me, ask me for that sort of thing and send me your address. That's a whole headache that we both have to go through. And while it is cool to have sort of more of a personalized piece of merchandise from Good Grief Media, I think this doing what we just set up will make it a lot more consistent. So what we just did, we just set up a Teespring site. So you can go on to Teespring. It's going to be the top link in our link tree, both on TikTok and Instagram and wherever you find our link tree. Just Linktree/ Good Grief Media official. It'll be the first thing on their Good Grief Media merch. So yeah, we've got the death metal logo that you guys have probably seen me wear. We have the boy logo that I'm sure you guys have seen me wear, the crossword logo. We've got it all on there. So make sure to go and shop at our Teespring site. So that'll be super cool. And I appreciate the love and support all of you guys have sent me so far. I guess I'll do a little bit of a personal check-in here before we jump into the episode, but I'm also planning on maybe recording more of just like a one-on-one, or I guess a just me episode shortly after I finish editing this. So, I've been okay. Things have been sort of up and down recently. I'm sure you are aware, this podcast has turned into sort of therapy sessions, if you will. I'm really looking for any sort of outlet where I can voice my emotional turmoil, whatever it is, you know, whatever the shit that's in my life that I've been going through. And so I think the biggest thing that I've just been dealing with, even today, I'm recording this shortly after I guess going through something emotionally. I don't even really know how to address it, but just sort of a weird, you could call it depressive episode. I'm just going to say that because I want to be succinct here. But it was more so just one of those things. I ended up feeling kind of like alone. And I don't mean that in the sense that like I don't have people around me, but it was more so just I felt like I needed more attention than I was getting, an unrealistic amount of expectation, if I'm being completely honest. Something that something that I wouldn't be able to get from someone else. It was really sort of more of an issue that I knew I had to face on my own, which maybe made the situation a little bit worse, because I've always been one to not want to blame my emotions and how I'm feeling on anyone else. It's, you know, well, it's, I feel this way. I feel shitty because you did this and because you didn't do that, whatever. I never, ever want to do that, because that's just putting just an unwarranted amount of stress and pressure on the receiving end of that. So I really try to, whatever I'm going through, I take it and sort of internalize it and figure out, like, okay, what am I doing to myself that is making me feel as awful as it is? And I think that's what was going on here. I set up unrealistic expectations for myself, and not even that, but I just sort of, I paint a picture in my head of how something's going, and then obviously it's life, it doesn't happen like that, you know, and it's not even like anything like, you know, just clear, just straight up in front, like bad happens. It's just maybe something doesn't work out. It's, you know, I'm going to keep it pretty vague here, but, you know, there's a million different things that could be going on. And, so it was one of those things, and I'm slowly, it comes and goes, which is a really sort of a bummer to have, because you feel like you're getting over it and then it doesn't. And then it comes back, and then maybe you'll see something that kind of sparks that depressive episode again. And all of a sudden you're knee deep in just self-loathing and thinking that you're not worthy of love, or you're not worthy of this, you're not worthy of that. So that is sort of what has happened, and I'll get more personal, and I could talk about it more in the one-on-one episode, because I really don't want to take away the spotlight from Brody, this amazing human being who's doing amazing things with Sad Acid Trips. So I know that I've talked long enough. Without further ado, here is the Sad Acid Trips interview. Before we get started, again, make sure to go and follow the man Sad Acid Trips on Instagram. You can go and stream his new album With My Friends on Spotify, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, wherever you guys listen to music. You know the drill. In addition to that, he had also released a live stream set, I guess, on YouTube. You can find that, I think, by just looking up Sad Acid Trips With My Friends live stream, something along those lines. So you can just find it there. And yeah, I will talk to you guys after the interview here. Let me know what you think about the interview at Good Grief Media on Instagram. And that's about it. I will talk to you guys afterwards. Okay, bye. All right, guys, we are here with Brody from Sad Acid Trips. How are you doing, my guy?
Doing pretty good. How about you, man?
I'm chilling. You know, it's pandemic is still going on, so just trying to figure everything out. But yeah, I mean, I guess jumping right into it, you just dropped an album. Did you want to talk about that a little bit? How is that process for you?
Well, like, I didn't really like, it's crazy because like I had never expected that I would like actually be pursuing music right now. Mm-hmm. I was studying filmmaking, as you know.
That's how we knew each other, yeah.
Yeah, and like, I guess when COVID hit and all, I just like was like left here in my house, like with my thoughts, and my mental health kind of just went down. So like, just started making music as a way to like journal all these feelings and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was really therapeutic, and it was really
cathartic.
Cool.
Yeah.
Super cathartic.
That's cool. Yeah, and it. Yeah. I feel like you had made music before Sad Acid Trips. I could be mistaken with that, but the genre seemed like it totally changed a little bit for you. Was that
Yeah, it definitely changed. I started making music as the Bandcamp Sad Acid Trips when I was like a sophomore in high school.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so that's when I first started it, and it was like something I just come back to whenever I wanted to. It was definitely a reflection of like what I was listening to at the time, like Fiddler and all of that stuff. And then I don't know how it changed to like the genre it is right now, but I never intended it to be that genre or anything. Like I always say like I don't know what I'm doing when I go into like Logic and stuff.
Oh, okay. And so you use Logic as your DAW system, I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
How would you, I guess, describe your genre of music? I've always, because when we were talking about it, I'd always say that it reminds me of like 100 gex, and I don't know if that's, I hope that that's not like an insult, because I know that 100 gex is sort of like a hot button topic for a lot of people, but like that glitch pop, is it glitch pop, I guess, that sort of side of things. How would you describe your music, I guess?
I've been trying to figure that out. I've been asking like friends and stuff, and they're telling me it's like hyper pop.
Hyper pop, that's what I'm
Yeah,
thinking of, yeah.
but like I don't think I've ever listened to anything that's hyper pop.
For sure.
Is
Well, that's,
100 gex hyper pop?
yeah, I mean, it's funny because I've listened to your music, and then I'll hear 100 gex and I'm like, oh wow, like I could, there's definitely,
Yeah.
differences. I wouldn't say that you're like a carbon copy of them by any means, but if they were to be playing a show, the way I see it is that like I could totally see you opening up for 100 gex or something along
Yeah.
those lines. Yeah, you guys being on the same lineup. So that's cool that it's even more authentic, I guess, that it's like you weren't really listening to that music. It wasn't a part of your mind going, okay, I want to make this
Yeah.
kind of, yeah, music. Yeah. So with the new album, what was the writing process like? You said you were stuck in, your apartment, sort of left with your own thoughts and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually don't write any of my songs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I like whenever I make a song, I'm feeling a certain type of way, and like it's usually like the best songs I make are like right after I'm done crying and stuff. And that's like when I just go in and I like make my beat, and then right away I just go in and I record the vocals without like writing anything, just kind of freestyling it.
Okay. And
Yeah, so
so, no, go ahead.
yeah, I was just gonna say each song is just like how I was feeling right then in that moment when I made that beat.
That's cool. So it's really, there's like a raw sense to it emotionally.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely.
So the new album is called With My Friends, in case that wasn't, we haven't already mentioned that, just to get that out there. But I guess it kind of, you already answered a little bit, but like, was the turnaround time pretty quick for you, or was it spending a lot of time, I guess, in that sort of mixing, mastering, recording phase, or was it pretty much just like boom, like emotional exorcism, and then like that's the song?
That's it. Yeah. Like,
Okay.
I just like go right into it, make the beat, then record my vocals, and then I'm like, okay, this is the song, and then I'll mix it, and then that's it.
Sick. Okay. And
Yeah.
you said you used Logic. What kind of like equipment do you use, hardware and stuff? Because I know it's a very electronic driven music project, and I've seen, like, you were talking, you're showing on Instagram that you had like a voice processor, I guess, or like a vocal processor.
Yeah,
I do have a vocal processor right now.
It's plugged in right now. It's the Zoom V3. That's what I'm using right now. It was a gift I got for Christmas,
Oh,
and
sick.
I'm just using a regular like Akai MIDI keyboard.
Okay.
That's all I'm using, and then I have like plugins like Analog Lab and stuff like that.
Oh, for real. Okay, so
Yeah.
you use I guess analog instruments for the most part. That would be the case. Or it's not a whole lot of editing in within the software. It's more so, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
All
Yeah.
right, cool.
And if like you notice, if like if you listen to like the stuff I dropped before the album, it's kind of like pretty simple and guitar and with like a synth track over that and then a drum beat. Things changed like after I went to New York, which was
Okay.
crazy. Yeah. Just kind of like had this like creative like rush when I
Awakening.
got back. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I
Would
started like trying stuff with my synth.
you say that trip to New York, I guess, was like a big factor into writing this? Because I know that it looked like the album cover. I follow you on Instagram, so I think that's where a lot of this reference is coming from. But it seemed like that trip to New York kind of sparked something in you, and then I believe it was that f pro the album cover, was that taken in New York?
Yeah, that was taken in New York, and yeah, like that trip definitely like helped me, I guess, like figure out who I am and stuff. Like I felt like I was home over there. So yeah.
That seems to be the case for a lot of people, I think, is that going to play, I mean, you live in LA, so
Yeah.
that's obvious. That has always been sort of the dichotomy of like creative places, I guess. That's how I've considered it for, I guess, like our scene and just creativity in general has always been like New York versus
Yeah.
LA. And would you say that now maybe New York is more so your scene? I don't know. I mean, that's kind of hard to say, but
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that it's my scene, but like it's definitely a place that like I see myself moving to eventually. And like the thing is, before I went to New York, I had just made I Don't Want to Lose You, one of mm-hmm. those tracks on the album, and like I was already in that mindset, like, okay, I want to do an album, like I want to try making one. So as I was in New York, I was just getting all this like inspiration, and when I came back, I was ready to go, and I punched out like 4 songs as soon as I got back, like within the 2 days. Yeah,
that's insane. That's a good turnaround, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Just was feeling good.
Yeah. And shit, what was I going to say? I was going to basically just bring up, like, a lot of people go to New York and do like the touristy stuff, but it seems like you have friends out there. So you're doing more of like there's different parts of New York, I guess. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with like Show Me the Body. But they definitely, like, I have a friend out there who lives in maybe like Brunswick or Bushwick or something like that. And so there's definitely that sort of, I don't want to say like, it just more like underground, not grimy in the sense that it's gross, but grimy in like the genuine sense of New York, I guess.
I don't know anybody in New York. We just went with us three and like kind of just like pretended like we lived there.
Oh, sick.
And so like it was just like blending in, and that's how like we got to experience New York, was just like that way.
That's sick. So it's a very immersive experience then.
Yeah, I didn't even go to, like, the Statue of Liberty or, like, the Empire State Building. Like, I never got to see that stuff.
That's good. That seems to be the way to do it, though. That's always been the way that I've wanted to travel, is if I go somewhere, I want to, like, see what the culture is about rather than, like, see some of the cool shit they have there. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like living the way they live.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess sort of tacking into that, were there any music projects you were listening to while writing this? I mean, I know I brought up 100 Gecs, but you were saying that like you weren't even like really in that realm before. So what would you say your biggest influences were here?
Oh, man. So like, I gotta say that like influence wise, if I had to like say some, 808s and Heartbreaks is like my favorite album of all time.
Oh, for sure.
And that, I don't know, there's just something about that I always find myself thinking about, and I can kind of hear some of the stuff in those songs that I'm making.
Okay. And that definitely, I could totally see that too, because that, it's funny, that album for Kanye was a total like switch that he hit. Like he had the whole like Class series where it was, you know, late registration, College Dropout, that sort of thing. And then if I'm not mistaken, he had a sort of, I guess, like an emotional barrier that he had hit. That might have been around the time that his mom had passed away too. I'm not saying that that's the same.
His mom passed, and then he got cheated on too.
Yeah, and you can tell that it's like a switch went off in his brain almost. It was really interesting. And then since then, it's just like totally, totally different path.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and so I guess, would you say that's been, I mean, creatively, has Kanye been a big inspiration for you?
I wouldn't say Kanye, but definitely that album has been like a big inspiration. Like Paranoid is like so good. Mm-hmm. Bad News is like one of my favorites. Like the drums on that song is crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
And also just like, I was listening to like The Garden.
Oh, for sure.
When I was in New York, like I was listening to like Cowgirl Clue. I don't know if you've heard of her.
Okay.
And I did listen to a little of 100 Gecs, but I would say Standing on the Corner is also like a big inspiration too.
Oh, for sure. Okay. And outside of music, have you taken any inspiration creatively from like different outlets, I guess, whether that be like film, photography, whatever? We went to film school together, like you were saying. Yeah. So
definitely taking like inspiration mostly from just like the interactions I'm having with all my friends.
Okay.
I don't know. I never really, really had friends up until now. I was mm-hmm. pretty like a loner like most of my life. So like right now it's a nice feeling being surrounded by all these people that like love and care about you and you can count on. So just being around them is like, it's super inspiring. Like I'll make a song like right after I'm done hanging out with my friends because I feel so good.
I think that's a perfect comparison to the album too, being that it's called With My Friends. I think a lot of that album is about friendship. I mean, would you agree? Was that sort of the catalyst for the creative direction for this album?
Yeah. I would say that like With My Friends, I came up with that title towards the end of the album.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was like unintentional. The fact that I said With My Friends, like in two different songs and like would always mention them. It just kind of like, I saw the album cover photo and I was like, With My Friends is like the perfect title for this album.
Oh, for sure. Okay.
Yeah, so it's all just like making sense once I came up with that title, like everything clicked.
Okay. Yeah, it's cool when that happens. It's like you can sort of, you know, beat yourself over the head going like, okay, like what's the creative vision here? What's the name of the album going to be? What sort of ethos or logos or whatever that word is, like, what am I going for here? And when that, sometimes you really have to think hard about it and then you kind of get like a half-baked idea. And there's other times when it's like a light bulb goes off. You're like, oh shit. And then it all sort of connects together.
Definitely. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, I was worried that like all these songs wouldn't sound good together.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like I never up until like it started streaming on Spotify, I never listened to it back to back, like next to each other.
Oh shit.
Yeah. I was just like hoping that they would sound good together.
That's sick that it was such a like raw outlet for you, I guess. Cause you like, we're in the day and age now, which it's sick that like, you know, you have SoundCloud and Bandcamp and all these different, even formats and platforms that allow creators like yourself or myself to go and put our music on like Spotify, let's just say, wherever. Right. And so the barrier for entry is a lot lower, but I also feel like there's a lot more competition to go against. And so, you have people like Billie Eilish or whatever, or Eilish, I call her Eyelash, but, but like, you know, she started on SoundCloud and all of a sudden now she's like one of the biggest artists in the world. So I get it's interesting that you see that and it's like, okay, they're like really producing it. I think it's refreshing to see something just so like, boom, here it is, and just kind of putting it out.
Yeah thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know, I feel like that's just how it's always going to be for me, and I don't really care like if no one really listens. Like this is making me happier at the end of the day, so I'm just going to keep doing it like this.
Exactly. And do you think that for future albums and releases, that's going to be sort of the process of your release and whatnot, where it's just sort of, again, like really sort of raw and uncut and you just kind of go for it?
I think so. I think like, I find myself now like putting more time into my beats and stuff though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before it would take me about like maybe an hour or 30 minutes to make a song.
Oh shit. Okay.
And now I'm just like, I'll be sitting on beats for like days. and it's so weird. I don't know. I kind of want to get back into that mind space where I'm just making a song right there for like an hour and then I'm done and that's it. That's the song. I kind of like that like raw feeling you get when you make it like that.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like there's definitely something to be said for the excitement that you get when you create something that you're like proud of or that you think is like just straight fire, because I know that when you sit on something for such a long time, and again, even connecting back to the whole film background that we have, yes, it's like it comes to a point in the editing process where you're like, this fucking thing sucks, but that's because you've been editing it for 18 hours straight for a month and it's like, this sucks. So it's cool that you still had that excitement. Yeah.
Yeah. I fucking hate that. Like, I hated when we were editing our thesis and like, I would like hear all the dialogue and I would start memorizing it and shit.
Just wording it at this point. Yeah. And by the time it comes out, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, like, I'm sitting on a few beats right now and like, I'm getting pretty tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I feel that. It's when I was doing for that very short stint of time that I was rapping, that was sort of the same thing. You're sitting there writing lyrics to the point where it's like, man, this isn't even cool anymore. This sucks.
Yeah,
like, yeah. The best. I mean, at least for me, I think the song that I'm most proud of, I guess, came out. And it was like, I wrote it in like maybe 45 minutes. The lyrics, and I was like, oh, this is sick. And that's still to this day the one that I'm like the most stoked on, I guess, because it's not it didn't take too long in like the thought process, it just kind of came out. But yeah,
I think like the best things you make are like the things you make in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
When you're really feeling it.
Yeah, exactly. And so I guess, yeah, like tacking on to that, what were there any sort of lessons that you learned in the making of this album and in the release of this album that you would take as like a learning experience onto next, your future projects?
Definitely. I think I'm going to try to take more time, even though I just said that, like, I want to get back into that raw making process. Mm-hmm. I do want to like take more time before I like say like, okay, this is the song on the album.
Mm-hmm.
I want to sit with it for a little, listen to it more and see like, you know, maybe there's more things I can add, or maybe like a breakdown can go here or there, stuff like that. Also just, I want to try different things. I have a certain process when I go into Logic where it's like drums, then it's all my synths and stuff like that. And I want to try and mix it up a little bit. I want to get more into sampling. I want to like get more experimental. That's like the sound that I'm like aiming for in the long run.
More experimental, like an art side of things, I guess. So yeah,
definitely.
Cool. And I guess like on top of that and making music, is there any sort of other creative outlets that you want to get back into, whether that be film, or is it sort of like you did film and now like music's your main thing, and if film comes up then it will, but like, is that, are you still focusing on film doing stuff like that?
Yeah, so like I going back to like when quarantine hit and stuff, I just like found my passion, I guess, and I guess it's music right now. And so right now it's like if film comes in the future, like back into my life, then that's what I'll pursue. But right now it's music, and like I am gonna use like my film like techniques and stuff when I'm making my music videos and stuff though, so that'll definitely be of use.
That's true. I think that there's definitely much more of a crossover than people would expect, I think, between like filmmaking and music. It's even in the sense of like putting a song together, the structure of a song, the structure of an album, I think it having a knowledge of film really behooves that that process.
Yeah, and on most of the sets I was like the sound guy, and so I was always used to like, you know, mixing the stuff, and like I had fun when I was editing my films and I was mastering the audio there. So my boss actually came up to me one time and was like, oh, how did you master your album, because it's like it's pretty good, blah blah blah. And I was like, I didn't. Like, I don't really know how to master a mix. It's just like all like muscle memory from doing all those sound stuff in film school.
That's super sick. Okay. Were you familiar with some of the equipment that you were using recording this album versus like coming from doing a lot of like film stuff, I guess, like film sound stuff?
I was like familiar with some of the equipment, but I was more familiar with like the terms and stuff on the software when I'm when I'm like mixing and like looking at the plugins and like, what does this do? And what does that do?
Okay. Yeah. And you said that you used Logic. Did you start with Ableton, or how did you land on Logic? Cause I love GarageBand, but I haven't made the jump into Logic yet.
GarageBand. Okay. So Logic is like GarageBand on steroids, by the way.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
It's super cool. So I started in high school. I started with Audacity, and that's like what I used for like most of that time. And then in college I got a Mac and I used GarageBand. And then half of with my friends was done on GarageBand, and the other half was done on Logic when I made the switch.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's funny too, because I've seen a lot of people shit on GarageBand, and even right now, like I have one of those interface things, or it's like a USB to quarter inch plug, so I plug my guitar in, but it's like,
yeah,
the amount of equipment they have already loaded on there, of like even just like amps and the way that you can customize the amps and the sounds, is really, really like, it's so intuitive in the way that you can do that. So I feel like people just sort of look at GarageBand as like a face value, and then are just like, oh yeah, no, there's way better interfaces. And I do like Ableton as well, but that's definitely more for like sampling and making a loop. Like all of my hip hop rap stuff was made on Ableton. Yeah. But I don't know, that's definitely cool. I could see that there's a crossover there. And I was going to say, do you think that, I know that you did the live set on YouTube.
Yeah.
Has COVID sort of affected, your writing process? I know that you being stuck inside, you said sort of acted as like a catapult for this, but do you think COVID has had an effect on that, versus what are you trying to change once this, I guess, say a whole thing is sort of done with?
Yeah. I'd say it's definitely affected like the ability to do like a live show or like a listening party. I don't know. I feel like it'd be really fun to do a live show, and like that's something I definitely want to do once, or if this all clears over. But I don't think it's affected like my, actually, now I'm thinking about it, like it's starting to affect my writing process in a bad way. Like right now I've been hit with like a little bit of writer's block. Like I've been sitting on these beats for a while. It's pretty hard. Just trying to find like that spark again. I kind of want to do like a EP before I do another album, but I hopefully want to drop a second album like on my birthday. Like that's like the goal.
Okay. Yeah. Sick. And it, yeah, I, it's hard now with everything going on, because it's with, again, COVID. It's, I feel like it's very easy to get sort of stuck in a vicious cycle of, again, like going on Netflix or whatever it is. It's sort of just being stuck inside.
And then like I'll try to go on my computer and I'll try to make a beat, but then you're like, you know, you're already bored and stuff. You don't have the energy to do it. So just need to probably take more walks or something, paint a little.
Yeah. It's a definite change of scenery is huge. Like for a while, I just moved. And so for a long time, it was like super productive and working here. And then I'm thinking of like just recently sort of hit a wall where it's like, man, like I'll sit down at my desk and like think I'm going to work on something. And then I end up like picking up my phone and messing around on there for like a while. And then it turns out that whatever I sat down to do isn't done yet.
Scrolling on the like same five apps, looking at everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I always do that shit where it's like, you'll close like Instagram or TikTok or whatever. And then for some reason you'll like close it thinking you're going to open up another app and you just go right back to opening
it. Yeah. You open it again. I hate that.
It's the weirdest thing, but yeah, how is living? I mean, obviously I know LA has been hit pretty hard with COVID. Is that, is it like a different world up there? I mean, I've been up there recently and it seemed like it was fine, but is it like scarier up there? I don't know what part of LA you're in either. Yeah.
I'm like right by like downtown LA right now. No, like everyone's just acting like it's nothing. And it's kind of frustrating seeing that. But like when it first hit, when like COVID first hit, it was like a dead city over here. That was pretty scary. Yeah.
I remember I went up there, around maybe the first couple months that it happened, and it was maybe right after the George Floyd protests and all of that was going on, but they closed down, I think it was Hollywood Boulevard, right by the like Chinese theater, the big theater down there, and they closed that whole street down and painted all Black Lives Matter across it. But it was the weirdest thing to see like that block specifically closed down. You could just go and like walk on it. It was the weirdest experience.
COVID, yeah.
It was very, very different and jarring, I guess. But yeah.
Do you think that like this is going to clear over soon?
I hope so, man. I used to be a huge pessimist and be like, oh man, this is stupid. Something else is going to come up. But I've realized that there's not like a whole lot of, it's hard to explain. There's not a whole lot of like positivity going on. There's not a whole lot of productivity that happens with being negative. And so, as long as I tell myself like, look, like it'll clear up, just sort of give it time, at least I feel better. So even if it doesn't, it's like in that moment, I feel better. It's just sort of looking out for my own mental health, I guess.
Yeah. I gotta start doing that then.
It's the weirdest thing, but I've been getting into, I call it manifestation, but not I was talking to someone that was like, oh, so it's not manifestation really. You're just telling yourself, okay, it's going to be a good day. And then you, by telling yourself that and convincing yourself that, you end up putting out like, you just feel better. And you sort of, it's through like rose tinted glasses at that point, and you end up having a better day. But at that point I'm like, okay, but if I have that kind of power over my mind, then like I might as well do it. There's no point to like not do that, I guess.
That's a good way of looking at it. Start doing that.
It helps, man. And I know there's like meditation and stuff, but I really have been slipping on that quite a bit. It's just meditation's hard, man.
Never tried it though. I should. I've been needing to try some of these things.
It when I was doing it, it certainly helped. I feel like it could help creatively, just because like as of right now, where I've been with sort of this creative block or whatever, I feel like I was trying to like phrase it yesterday, and it seems like I'm creatively dizzy, if that makes sense, where it's just like there's so much going on, and I know there's so many things that I have to do that at this point I feel like I can't focus on any one thing, because it's like there's just too much going on. I can't. I'm firing on all cylinders while not firing on any. So I don't know, it is interesting though how that whole thing works out. I guess, have you been watching anything while under quarantine? Have you been into anything?
No, I haven't been watching anything. just like sit at the TV and then start like going in my thoughts and stuff. It's really hard battling like mental illness while being in quarantine.
Yeah. I got I've been getting really bad anxiety attacks, and they come and go. But like when this first started, I think I realized, I was like, oh shit, like I realized that anxiety was like a very real thing, and then depression comes and goes as well. But it's funny that, like, I don't know if you were this type of person, but when I was growing up, I was that type of kid that was like, oh, I'm anxious, oh, I'm depressed, whatever. And then as an adult, I actually experienced it, and I was like, oh shit. Yeah, this is real. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say though, like, last year sucked, yeah, like with the whole COVID hitting and stuff, but it was definitely like probably like a really transformative year for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a lot of people too.
Mm-hmm. No, that's absolutely, that's super, super accurate. Just because while it wasn't like, again, super positive, it seems like it was a wake up call for a lot of people, I guess, and just sort of to get their head on straight to learn more about yourself. Because at that point, you don't really, everyone was stripped of so many distractions, if you will, things that, you know, would distract us, a 9-to-5 job, whatever it is, things that would sort of take away from you reanalyzing and reassessing where you're at. And so when that's taken away, you're like, oh shit, okay, I've got some more work to do. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I mean, some good things came out of, like, you know, sitting there and thinking about like yourself and who you are. I mean if it wasn't for quarantine, I don't think I would have ever been able to like come out and be like the person I am today. So that's pretty cool.
That's very true. And this is probably like totally off topic, but I know you're a huge Safdie Brothers fan. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there any sort of connection? I mean, were they were probably like a pretty big inspiration for you just like as a person, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I have Good Time tattooed on my thigh. It's like my favorite movie of all time. But they definitely, like, OPN's score. Mm-hmm. Definitely is an influence, and like I'm working on a song right now and it's like super Good Time vibes. It's pretty cool.
That's sick. That totally makes sense, actually, because his stuff was very, very like synth wave, like 80s synth wave, almost like grime.
Yeah
that's dope. Definitely. That's super sick. Well, I mean, that's good to hear that there's still like things that get you creatively excited and whatnot. I think that's one of the biggest things, is just to sort of surround yourself with those aspects, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's hard because like I don't really listen to music right now. Like I'm listening to like the same things over and over again. Mm-hmm. And like all my friends are tired because like during the whole process of making this album, I was like playing my songs over and over again in their cars. Like,
yeah,
everyone liked it and stuff. Mm-hmm. To make sure it was good.
Mm-hmm.
I probably annoyed the shit out of them.
No, I feel you. That's like what needs to happen too though, because it's like you need to get feedback. And then it's funny when it finally drops, they're almost under more of the same impression that you are, where you're like, oh, okay, I've heard these songs a million different times, as opposed to it being like, oh shit, like Brody just dropped a new album. This is sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I was going to say, like, look, thankfully for like film school though, and like we sit there through all those feedback and we can take the criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I like the honesty, and I feel like a lot of people are scared to be honest with me sometimes. I'm just like, just be honest with me. I went to film school. Like, I can handle it.
I can handle the criticism. Yeah. Yeah,
for real.
Yeah. Sam Kim would always just like fuck with us. Thank
Shout out to Sam.
Yeah, dude. I miss that man.
Yeah.
So what are you listening to now? I guess you said you've been listening to the same kind of music, but I'm curious as to what that would be.
Let's pull up my Spotify. Yeah. I just listened to like Frank Ocean, like, nonstop. Let's see. Frank Ocean, The Beatles right now, Daft Punk I've been listening to.
Rest in peace. Yeah.
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 My friend dropped an EP and it's really, really good. So I've been listening to that too. They're called Manly. They're pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. And then Kanye West again. 808 for sure. Breaks.
Okay. Have you listened to, I think they're out of LA actually, but there's a group called Girl Pusher. They remind me of Death Grips a little bit. Yeah.
I'll check them out. No, yeah, I haven't heard of them.
Yeah, I would definitely check. That seems like it'd be up your alley too. It's I wouldn't say a little ugly main direction wise, but it's you just have to check it out. It's hard to explain. Okay. I think the closest I could say is like maybe Death Grips and stuff, but.
Okay. Yeah. I'll check it out. I fucking love Death Grips.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I guess before we, what time are we at here? I think we're pushing 30 minutes. Is there anything else you wanted to plug or anything like that?
No, I mean, just like if you guys are interested, you know, Sad Acid Trips on Spotify or Apple Music, that's where the album is. And yeah, I hope you guys like it.
Make sure to go and follow the man on Instagram. That is Sad Acid Trips on Instagram, right? I just want to make sure I'm not messing that up. Okay, sick. The new album is called With My Friends, and then you just put out that live set on YouTube that's available on YouTube, right?
Live set is streaming on YouTube right now.
Good shit, dude. All right, I'm stoked. I saw it, actually. I liked it a lot. Yeah, I listened to the album. I liked it, yeah. You've got a very good like stage presence, I think. So I'm stoked that once COVID sort of blows over, I'm stoked to see you play shows and stuff.
It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
That'll be sick. Well,
glad you liked it, dude.
Yeah, of course. No, I actually do like it. And I am not afraid to give criticism as well. So it's
cool.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. If I don't. You. Yeah, of course. But yeah, thank you so much for hopping on, man. It was good talking to you. We need to hang out
good talking
soon
to you.
once all this stuff is over with, or next time in LA.
Yeah, let me know.
Yeah, definitely. Will do. All right. Peace.
For sure.
See, what did I tell you? What a gem of a human being that guy is. I love that man. I think it was really interesting. My biggest takeaway from this was actually when he was talking about the turnaround for the album. I mean, usually we're used to seeing such a deep and involved post-process. I mean, obviously in film, but even with music, you know what I mean? They'll get done recording after however long, months, years of writing, and then they'll go through the recording phase, and it has become such an extensive process to make an album, to make a release. So it's really, really refreshing to be able to talk to a creative individual like Brody, who takes that sort of that raw emotional power that is supposed to reside within a lot of the music that we listen to, but we kind of touched on it during the interview. It's interesting how by the time you get to the editing process and you're mixing and you're mastering and you spend so much time on these tracks, you don't even like the music anymore. The emotional validity to it has sort of gone out the window. Either that or the songs at that point were made such a long time ago that you're not even as emotionally invested in whatever you were addressing in your music. So I think that his process is really, really fantastic, and I think that we're on the cusp of that being sort of a big creative movement. We're on sort of the threshold of that right now. It seems, again, it just sort of, it holds a lot more a raw emotional power to it as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, it's I had an absolute blast talking with him. I need to catch up with him more. He's a really good dude, and we're obviously into the same kind of thing. So you know, we need to do that more often, I think. And yeah, so this was a very good interview. Again, please go and follow Brody on Instagram. It's going to be Sad Acid Trips on Instagram. You can go and listen to his new album, With My Friends, on Spotify, SoundCloud, Bandcamp. You guys already know the deal. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Just go and stream. It's really good music, I'm telling you guys. It's very experimental, and I feel like you guys might like it. So, yeah, go and check that out. Also, the live stream on YouTube, just Sad Acid Trips With My Friends live stream on YouTube. I'm sure it'll come up. And, yeah, I think aside from that, we should have it all about covered. Personal plug, make sure to go and check out Good Grief Media's new Teespring site. We've got all the merch available on there, from the hardcore like death metal logo to the crossword logo to the boy definition logo on sweatshirts, t-shirts, masks, iPhone cases. We've got the whole kit and caboodle on there. So make sure to go and check it out. Support your boy. You can follow me on Instagram, Good Grief Media on Instagram. Right now, TikTok is popping off. I mean, I'm sort of hitting peaks and valleys with that. But if you're listening to this and you're not from TikTok, welcome. But also, make sure to go and follow me on TikTok. Good Grief Media Official on there. I'm probably on there more than I'm on most other social media sites at this point. Almost to a fault, if I'm being honest. But that's a different conversation for a different day, for the next episode that we'll be talking about. So, make sure to go and do all of that. I will see you guys in the next episode. I hope you appreciated this one and learned something. All right. I love you guys. I will talk to you later. Bye.